Hello, guys, and welcome back to a new episode of the Club Sun podcast. We're your host, Marcus Sundin, and alongside me is Alexander Brams, as always. Today, we have a new guest. Today's guest is Kevin Stuhr-Ellegaard, and the main goal with this podcast is to talk about Kevin's career. He's a previous pro goalkeeper, and he retired a few years ago. He's now trying to figure out what's the purpose with life, and we talked about that as well. We talked a little bit about his career. We asked him the usual fire questions as always, and he had some interesting answers to those, and we dove a little bit more into that, but you'll hear more about that in the episode. So Alex, we just recorded the episode, and what did you take away from it?
I take away especially the part about communication, because that actually took up a bigger chunk than I expected. It was my question, and I was just surprised, and we really got in depth with how important communication is and how it's changed from the beginning of his career back in the early 2000s to now, up in the late or in the start 2020s, whenever he quit or retired. So that was really good, and I'm excited for you guys to hear it. And as always, if you guys have any feedback, text us, DM us, do whatever, or just leave a review if you really like it.
Club Sun podcast are back with a new episode. Today we want to say hi to a good friend of mine, I would say so, a former pro goalkeeper, Kevin Stuhr-Ellegaard. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
It's the reason why I call you a friend is obviously because of our past experience together. I just did some research before this recording, and we had a session together, a training session when you got back home to Denmark with the goalkeeper coach, Morten Kjærby, who is a previous guest on the podcast as well. So if you haven't listened to that episode, feel free to go back and listen to that, because Morten is a goalkeeper connoisseur, if you ask me. He have his own collection. There is several articles out there where he's sitting in his living room with, I think, 300 gloves around him on his lap, and him smelling the gloves too, and all that kind of stuff. So go back and listen to that. But today it's about you, Kevin. And what I said about that goalkeeper session is that's actually out on YouTube as well 3 years ago. And that's actually, I'm very impressed about it, because it's reached 11,000 views. So we must have done something right. But that was obviously a great experience. But Kevin, before we jump into a little bit about your career, and then also what you're up to today, because obviously things change after your pro career is over and all that kind of stuff. I want to jump a little bit into our usual fire questions here on the podcast. So we have four questions that we always ask our listeners. So whenever you're ready, we should just take it away. So the first one is, gloves on or gloves off?
I'll say gloves on, because it's just an amazing lifestyle, and you get so much happiness out of it, and it's just a great life being a goalkeeper or being an athlete, earning money on what your dreams. Life is good outside football, but football was great.
Love it. Favorite goalkeeper of all time?
I'll say Peter Schmeichel. He's the one who embraced me to be a goalkeeper. You know, the bravery he has was just, you couldn't take your eyes off it. He was so huge, and so, his bravery is just enormous. And the way when he saved the balls, it gave me something. And I wanted to be like him. Obviously got the time to be a goalkeeper with him as well. So that was a huge thing for me.
Love it. We can get back into that. But favorite goalkeeper you have played with?
It's difficult. It's difficult to say one. I think I've had a tremendous relationship with, you know, nearly all of my goalkeepers. even though I had not been the first goalkeeper, or if I was the first goalkeeper, you know, there's been some amazing guys around me. But if I have to pick one out, you know, I would say Nicky Weaves, former English goalkeeper. He was just an extraordinary guy. His way of being as a goalkeeper, but also outside the pitch also. We had a great relationship together. We trained well, both of us, and we like to have fun outside football as well. But we could also use this switch on and off on training. And I like that. You can have fun, but you also like to work hard. So I do appreciate my friendship with him.
Love it. And lastly, most important aspect within goalkeeping.
Yeah, that's a difficult one, because I think it's changed a lot. You know, we spoke about it a little bit before, but, you know, in the old days, you just needed, you know, to be brave and like to be a little bit crazy. But I'll say all the basic stuff in goalkeeping will be important today, because you be under a lot of pressure nowadays with fans, media, everything. And the more you train the details in basic goalkeeper training, like angles, you need to be fit, so your mentality has to be right, and you need to be able to use this switch on and off in training, so you know when you're at work and when you have fun. And also today, being a goalkeeper, you also have to be a football player today. So you need to be athleticism has to be really good, because you need to be able to play football, read the game. Your movement has to be better, because you're not just standing in the goal anymore. So there's a lot of stuff to it at that moment.
Spot on. As we've talked about before as well, people from the outside might think that goalkeeping is simple, you know, but us goalkeepers know that that's not the case. And that's, again, also the main aspect behind us starting this podcast. We want to highlight all the different aspects within goalkeeping, all the different perspectives on it. But Kevin, let's jump into the more serious stuff. Obviously, your career stands for itself, you know, played at clubs like Manchester City, Hertha Berlin, and then going back home to play for Ranas. And then obviously, you played a long, long time in the Swedish league with Elfsborg. But I remember in the fire questions that we also talked about your favorite goalkeeper of all time being Peter Schmeichel. So let's jump back to that and talk a little bit about your experience with him. And you obviously gave us a little bit of insight already, but why do you think he took his career so far?
He was just a little bit in front of his time with the distribution, you know, the way he could throw out a ball. It was just spot on every time. You know, he could start a contra attack, and you didn't use that normally. You just kicked the ball out, you just whacked it out, and you know, but this was just a weapon in transition football. And he had a different look when he was in the goal. He was really, you could really feel him when you watched him. But I think his distribution was unbelievable. And getting to know him also inside football was just crazy, because you need to have that craziness. And I remember we were standing 4, 5, 6 goalkeepers next to the goal in shooting contest, and he was just looking at us. And he was, why are you waiting? I'm training now. So he just wanted to have all the shots, because now he was out training. He was 40 years old and he wanted to take all the shots, because he was only out for maybe two and a half day in the week. So we just went over with the goalkeeper coach, Peter Bonetti, and start doing some training, because he didn't want to let anyone in, because now he was, you know, switching on, and he was crazy when he was switched on. You couldn't get into him.
That's crazy. I mean, I've also seen like documentaries and obviously done some research and seen clips of Peter Schmeichel back in the days. And I know from some of his opponents, they obviously told that he obviously was a great goalkeeper, and he had the size and obviously had the character of a goalkeeper, you know, but there was more to it than that. And I think what you also said is that the teams he played, the strikers almost feared him, you know. It was not only about him just being a great goalkeeper, but it was, I remember, I think it was a striker for Arsenal said in the documentary that in a 1v1, I mean, he was scared to go 1v1 against Peter Schmeichel because not only was he massive, you know, most importantly, he was just, he didn't fear anything. He would take your leg if that's what it took to save the ball, you know, and I think that's something that takes it to the next level as well, you know, and you say, give that example of in training as well, it's about me, you know, I'm the one in here in goal and I'm saving the balls, then you guys can do whatever, right? Yeah, but now it's about me.
He was fearless, you know. You need to be fearless. You need to be fearless as a goalkeeper. You need to want that. You need to like that. It hurts a little bit for people to say, "Wow, hey, are you all right?" or "What a save!" and then get the feeling and the excitement out of that. When people say that, then you say, "Oh, that was all right." You know, getting hurt, but because the feeling you got from doing the right save or the applause you get from other people would just be so massive that you want to do it again. And also you can switch it vice versa to say, you know, the defenders also were more alert, his own defenders, because they needed to be alert because he expected more of them. Also, they feared him not being, you know, they need to be ready, otherwise they will hear it. So just a big character.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it seems from the outside too. And I want to talk a little bit about your career, Kevin, because obviously you trained with Peter at City, correct? And taking that into, you were very, very young when you went to City, you know, and you obviously take all this advice, and him being a Danish goalkeeper as well, you know, can take you under his wings, and I'm sure you benefited a lot from that. So looking back at your own career, and we obviously know how the goalkeeping position have evolved to being a completely different position today, but back when you played, what would you say was some of your best aspects? Because obviously we also talked about in the intro about the most important aspects within goalkeeping, and you gave a little bit of insight on that. But if you then take that to yourself, what would you say that got you so far in the professional game? What was your strengths?
I think my strength was I'm very good at talking with my defense and people around me, making people better around me, because I see the game well. I think that I was maybe a little bit in front of my time as well, because I like playing outfield player, playing around, so I know how it would be to receive the ball wobbling. It needs to be perfect and all this kind of stuff. So I was a little bit in front of my time as well. I could play football. I could see the game. And I like to talk a lot with my defense so that they will be better and it will make a better case for me or an angle for me to make a better save. And also, of course, my height did a lot for me. But I was also quick as, you know, normally you say he's so tall, he's not good at getting down or something, but I could manage both. So in general, I was an all-round goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. I was not really good at jumping or be explosive or anything like that. I was just an all-round good goalkeeper, a good football player, if you could say so, to be in goal.
Yeah, and for those of you out there who don't know his height, he's what, 198 centimeters, yeah. six foot four five, in between that, yeah, for Americans listening. Yeah. So you being what was it, down in the early 2000s, playing with your feet a lot, it was definitely ahead of your time. I wasn't that old yet, but I've seen football from that age, and that's really good. And being a communicator, I bet that has also evolved a lot with the game. How do you think that communication, if we just talk about that, how has that evolved from the beginning of your career until now?
It has to be more specific, your communication. In the old days, you know, you can say that was Peter Schmeichel's minus, maybe, mm-hmm. that it was, sometimes it was too much noise. It was just wumbling on with everything, and you cannot concentrate about getting information when it's on all the time. It's just noise. where today you need to be more specific when you give communication, helping your defense, you need to be specific. So that's really important. And I think that kept me in the game long as well, because I was good at that. And that made me look good. Even though I was 38, I could look good because I knew how to get the best out of my defense, so I can get the best out of me as well. So I didn't end up in a situation where I had to use my non-existent explosiveness. So that's one of the things I was good at.
Yeah, definitely. And that's something that, if I should say myself, that I'm good at, it is, you know, the importance of making your defenders better. If you can, you said you saw the game well, and that's really important, because if you can see like where the next pass should be, or you see the run and you tell your defender, hey, left, and then he just gets that pass, blocks that pass, so you don't have to come in a 1v1, then you look good. I think in my college career, if we look at that, I didn't have that many crazy saves, but I still had 29 clean sheets in 44 games. And that was because I think me and my defense, we knew each other so well, and that we were really like a unit and we understood everything that was going on. So that's really the importance of it.
I totally agree. And some of the best defense players I have in front of me were the one where we could talk about it. Where do you like to, are you quick? Are you slow? Mm-hmm. And then I'll try to manage my game also from that. So maybe if he's slow, I need to be further out the pitch. Then I won't come in these situations where I'm too far down and it will be one-on-one. Then I'll be further out and I can kick it out of the pitch. And if mm-hmm. if it was a quick one, then I could stand a bit further down. I can show myself. Then he could pass it to me instead of just kicking out to a throw-in. And then we could keep the ball because I was good with the feet. All these kind of small things will just make a big impact, and making each other better as a defender, as a goalkeeper, just makes you in it for the long run, to be honest. And I could actually have kept going playing mm-hmm. as well. It was just something else, but I could have kept going in that level I was playing at.
Yeah, we'll get back to that. But yeah, it's crucial to have that connection with the defenders. If you're not, I don't mean you have to be friends with them, but at least like have the mutual respect between you guys, because you also need to develop, I think so, some kind of language with your defenders that you could say like, hey, Nico, right, and then he goes right, or Nico, right shoulder, and that means there comes a run on the shoulder, or Nico, step, and then he steps and make that little step so they call them offside or whatever. So did you have secret language or some kind of language with your defenders?
Absolutely. And also the things who actually got more important through my career, as we talked a little about before, was this thing about not screaming at each other, not showing other people that I was so not happy with what you did. And also just the way we look at each other. If somebody, you know, cuts inside, the defender opens his legs and he kicks it through the legs, mm-hmm. and shoots it through the legs, and it goes in the short corner. And, you know, I don't need to yell at him. He knows that I know that, you know, and that's it, you know, and then you get on with it and make better next time. Or in the training, you talk about it, just say, don't worry about it. You know, you don't need to jump into big tackles for me at that point. You just need to keep your legs short, and then I can see and I'll be able to save it more times than if you spread your legs out like that. So small details like that we will talk about. Always have the connection between the defenders. That was nice. It was actually, it gave me a kick, to be honest, to show that we had our own language, if you could say so.
Yeah, own language, own understanding. And that thing, I had the confidence to tell the guys that when there's a two against one against the defender, I learned this in futsal. I just told them, cut the pass, I'll get the 1v1 and I'll have the confidence. And then maybe 8 out of 10 times I would save the 1v1, which is what I learned in futsal, because if the defender goes to the player, then he pass, both of us are screwed. But if he cuts off the pass and I stay and I close the angle with the striker, I have a better chance than if they do a sweaty goal, as they call it in FIFA.
Yeah, but also the understanding, if then he scores, you both of you will just look at each other and say, you know, great goal, let's get on mm-hmm. with it, instead of why didn't you, and all this kind of stuff. Now also like to look down when you, like you said, you know, when you look down to he cut the pass over to the other one, and then you just wait for that split second to when the striker takes the touch to maybe get out on his face mm-hmm. or, you know, just get closer to him so he will get a shock when he looks up. All this kind of is just an amazing thing in goalkeeping.
It was. And now I've been in Italy down here training and coaching a bit for the last 1.5 years, and they love Attacco Palla. If you watched Tottenham last week, the goalkeeper made an amazing save where he just, whenever the striker took the touch inside, he did exactly what you said and just flew out Attacco Palla style and saved the ball with his face. But it was just amazing to see, and my goalkeeper coach here will love me saying this, but that was one of the best things I've seen with the Attacco Palla technique, and it's just the nerdy stuff with the communication and all these details that are super important. And also, you mentioned this, you don't have to yell at your defender or your midfielder whenever he makes a mistake, because he knows he's made a mistake. Just tell him, maybe, I know it's hard sometimes in the heat of the game, but sometimes you can say, hey, Morten, next time, maybe this solution would be better, instead of saying, hey, get your shit together.
Of course, you need him. Maybe it's after 5 minutes. You need him for the 85 minutes. You don't need to take him down, because people will see if you start screaming at him, okay, he might have a bad day or something. You know, you don't want to, you know, encourage that to the opponent and team. So make sure that you don't show off. I was at this time, you know, if you say Roger Federer in tennis, mm-hmm. the way he plays tennis, you could never see if he was angry or frustrated. You could never see anything. He would just keep going, and he would not be smiling, but you could not see it on him if he was really happy or if he was mm-hmm. just not happy, you know. And I think that's really important, that you don't show emotions unless, you know, you made a great save. You know, of course you need to show it, get it out of your system, mm-hmm. But otherwise just try to be as smooth as possible.
Yeah, I call that somewhat an elite mentality, that you don't show whether you did something good or bad. I think I mentioned it before on this podcast, but I trained with Oliver Christensen, who is at Fiorentina now at one point, and he didn't show any emotion whether he saved it or it went in and he could have saved it. And also, I was watching tennis yesterday, Djokovic against Holger Rune, 16-year difference between the two of them, and there were a massive difference in the way they showed emotions. And so on. It was cool to see. And yeah,
I like that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So, Kevin, you mentioned yourself a little bit that you could have probably carried on playing at the level you were playing at Helsingør.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, why the stop?
I think it got to a point where I could see that I got 3 kids. Just moved back to Denmark, wanted to get everything right. You know, we've been in Sweden for many years, for 8 years. Mm-hmm. It was a big transformation for the family, even though Sweden and Denmark is similar or almost the same. There was a lot of stuff into it behind the scenes, you know, getting a house, make sure that everyone is happy in schools and everything. And I could just see me, I could not see myself laying on the sofa, relaxing, trying to prepare for training or games. Also with the earnings that I, you know, went down to, mm-hmm. I couldn't justify it anymore. And the last 3 or 4 years of my career, I also, you know, wanted to learn more about life, because now I've been in this elite mentality environment for many, many years. And it just came up, you know, it just popped up that now is the time. Because mm-hmm. I still love football, love the sound in the glove when you catch the ball right, the feeling of light feet moving across the goalkeeper area, all this kind of stuff I still love. But if, you know, people always say, why didn't you continue? mm-hmm. Yeah, but if I was Buffon and I got so much million from laying on the couch, preparing and stuff, you know, then it's a different thing. But in, yeah, 9 out of 10 times, the normal kind of football player who also needs a life after has to prepare himself for something outside football.
Absolutely. And Yeah, I Marcus is at college. I was at college, and I worked with sending players to college, and that was just a great way for them that are not pro and they're about to go into the senior years that they could go then actually get your plan B. Because now Marcus just finished his college season. I'm somewhat retired, and I know we're way younger than you, but it's also we had to see the benefits of it, like in time versus money and everything. And it sounds like that you were in that situation where you had three kids and a house and everything. Maybe you should figure something else out.
It's not about money. I'm not playing because of money.
No,
but
exactly.
It's just reasonable as a human being to think
value.
About these. Yeah, just to think about these things. And I just embrace today, because I don't have any education. I embrace people. Unless you are the biggest talent that you've seen in Denmark or anything, you know, and you get away, and of course you need to focus on that. But let's say 9 out of 10, not even that, will get all these kind of millions and all these kinds of stuff. But still, it's so important to have something to. It sounds boring, but it's not, to be honest, to fall back on. And you don't need to finish high school in 3 years. You can do it in 10 years. You just need to be finished with something at the end of your career. And it's very important for young goalkeepers to understand that, because if you be the one, the world's greatest goalkeeper, you know, you're all right. But there's a lot of other goalkeepers out there who doesn't earn for the rest of their life.
Yeah, exactly. And it's also, we talked this with the Monday GK, it's also the pressure of going paycheck to paycheck. But that's another story. Something that you mentioned was also something we mentioned in our episode, which actually came out today, but when this comes out, it's a few weeks ago. And that was about finding your other identity outside from your athletic identity, because you are a football goalkeeper. That's all I know you for. So what else is there behind the football goalkeeper, apart from a parent?
It's still hard for me to, you know, to find out, to be honest. I'm still trying to find my real self, if you can say so. I know what my strengths are, but finding a work or finding something you would like to do. I like to do something for other people and stuff, but you still need to earn money. So it's different. I'm still trying to, at the moment, my work is being a football commentator from Discovery in Denmark on the Danish Super League, and also a little bit in England and in Sweden. And that's a great transition, because you're still in the game, you're still coming out to these stadiums, you still meet friends who are sports directors or coaches, and it's a great step. But I'm still, to be honest, trying to find out what I really want to do as a 40 years old guy, and also thinking about a lot. I really want to come out on the right side. I'm using a lot of time to find out, because it's different than when people know you as a
goalkeeper. Yeah,
it's different. I'm still trying to find my feet. It's not, there's no problems or anything, but it is different, and it's in the back of my head all the time. But I'm still having a good life, and I'm working with something I like. But I want to do more. But what it is, I do not know.
No, and this is also just because I know I've been doing some presentation at high schools in Denmark. A lot of them, they're like, oh, I don't know what to do. And now I'm here sitting with a 40-year-old and who doesn't know what he wants to do. And I'm sure Marcus doesn't know what he wants to do at all times. And I don't know. So it's completely normal to all listeners out there to not knowing what you want completely, as long as then it sounds like you're very content with what you're doing, but you also want to do something more. And that's just healthy, because you're an athlete and you have goals.
Yeah, I want to work, but I also want outside work. I want to do more for the community, the society. I'm thinking big all the time. I think it's maybe as an athlete, it's a thing you have. You want to be bigger and braver, you know, and have big thoughts. I want to help people. I also want to give back to the society that I got so much from. So I've also been thinking about doing more goalkeeper coaching. Could it be something different if it doesn't have to be with only goalkeepers? Could it be something different just to help people, the mentality of being a football player in general? So
yeah, I mean, you can come balls. Back on as a usual season guest and talk about mentality if you want. We would love to have you on. It's already good.
That's what I'm doing a lot at the moment. All these kind of stuff. I'm reading and listening and all this kind of stuff. I think it's very interesting, and it's a lot on my mind, all these kind of stuff, because it's important to give back, to learn other people what you've been through, and making right decisions, not my decisions, but decisions I can help you making the right decision that's for you. So yeah,
exactly. And it sounds like we should have a good session this summer, us three, and maybe get Morten in there too as the coach. That would be good fun, yeah, and educational for some channels out there, maybe.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's obviously, again, Kevin, why we also started this podcast. You know, I mentioned to you that we started this podcast almost four years ago. And for this specific reason, you know, to give back to the goalkeeping community, because that community gave us so much, not only something to do on a weekly basis. Obviously, it gave you a career as well, but more importantly, it shaped us into the persons we are today. You know, and that's something obviously to be grateful for. And that's why I think giving back even gives you more value as well, because then you feel like you're passing on that knowledge, you're passing on that experience you had yourself. So, even though you haven't figured it out yet, I mean, as Alex said as well, I think life is really about figuring it out along the way. You know. No one really knows what they're gonna do when they retire from the game at some point. So I think that's an important aspect of it as well, you know, to enjoy it while it lasts, and then you see where life takes you.
Exactly. As long as you, I think it's very important, as long as you're positive and open minded for new things, and not too critical, and as long as you're prepared to work for it. Then I think you get along and you manage to get far in your life.
100%. And well, that got a little bit deeper than we expected, you know. But that's a part of it as well. I mean, us guys get emotional as well, and we obviously just have a passion for this
we
position.
We got big shoulders as goalkeepers.
100%. So we want to jump a little bit back into the more not serious stuff. You know, obviously gloves is a big part of goalkeeping. That's why the name of the club, of the podcast is Gloves On. As you mentioned in the first fire question as well, you obviously prefer putting your gloves on than not having gloves on, you know. So on the podcast here, Kevin, we always have a last question. And that last question is, you can talk about when you were a goalkeeper at City, or you can talk about what it is today, but we always ask what your favorite gloves is and why.
Oh yeah. I went back to Roy's when I finished my career, and I actually started with Roy's. I think it's just sales also gave me a good comfy feeling as a goalkeeper sales. But I think the most important thing, yeah, is that Royce gave me also that again. So Royce, Ullsport, you know, I think they do a lot for goalkeepers. It's not just a brand who wants to show off. It's like a goalkeeper thing. They really want to make the best feeling for a goalkeeper. Not saying that Nike or Adidas or Puma or something doesn't want to do that, but they don't have the same focus on the glove as they probably have it better now than they have in the old days. So I think Roy's actually had a great glove, and I finished off with that and I started with that. So I'll go with Roy's.
That's the perfect circle. You start somewhere, and usually you always tend to go back, you know.
Exactly.
But Kevin, we as I mentioned, that was the last question of the podcast. Alex and I just want to tell you that we thank you for taking your time today and sharing a little bit about your career and your knowledge on the position. So we really appreciate that.
Thank you so much for having me. It was just a pleasure.
Stay tuned for part two.
And to you guys still listening out there, please go follow Gloves On Podcast on your favorite social media, leave a review, and share this with one other goalkeeper for them to keep improving. Catch you on the next episode of Gloves On Podcast.